what is GameSpot's podcast about wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. My name's Chris Hayner. Join the Dark Order, joindarkorder.com. And with me, as always, my bestest ever, ever wrestle buddy, Matt Elfring. Matt, how you doing?
Chris, this is a brand new way to take the show to the next level.
That's right.
Is after 74 full episodes and a bunch of minis, have you do the intro.
That's right.
Bring that energy, kick it into high gear, joindarkorder.com.
Oh, you've already screwed it up. It is actually just joindarkorder.com unless you have secured that URL.
I have not.
Sorry for springing this new way of opening the podcast on you out of nowhere.
This is, I was busy checking a DM on Twitter to see if a certain someone had responded about being on our show next week.
I can't believe you're DMing with Triple H.
As we know from me mentioning on this show, me DMing people to book them on the show has worked 0% of the time. Well, no, one. It's worked with one person.
Is it the person who you're DMing with now?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of
not course. Not Danhausen. Absolutely not Danhausen.
Danhausen became the busiest man in the world in the middle of us planning on him being on the show.
It is really wild that we were in on the ground floor of Danhausen, but like at the last possible second, so that he then blew up and was unable to do the show because he's now.
Yeah, I was in the process of booking him while he appeared, or the day he it came out that he appeared on Conan.
Yeah. And now he is the most popular professional wrestler on this planet.
Yeah, there's a few other people I've tried to book through DMs. I will not mention their names, and they got flaky.
You hear us, Stone Cold Steve Austin? That's not true at all.
You do not
have the ability to DM Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I do not. There are many wrestlers I have the ability to DM because we follow each other on Twitter.
Absolutely.
I'm wearing a shirt of one right now.
Bay Bay,
it's the Adam Cole Muppets Baby shirt that I got from the Pro Wrestling Tees.
Current AEW star, former Wrestle Buddies guest star.
Yes. I bought it because I said, this is a great shirt. I love Muppet Babies. I love Adam Cole. This is going to get taken down by Disney. I better buy it.
Yeah, it's I'm shocked it hasn't been taken down yet.
Because I don't think parody law would apply to this shirt.
Probably not.
It's just, I mean, it's the Muppet
literally
babies.
Just the images, except they're doing the double fingers.
Yeah. Man, we got a great, oh, no, this is you now because we've.
Yeah. So we're not talking about Adam Cole or t-shirts or anything like that today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a spooky season.
Oh no. Chris, did you hear that?
What?
I think it's a ghost.
A ghost.
Yeah, we don't have a guest this week, so no ghost.
A guest?
Nope, no guest this week either.
No, it's spooky season, so Matt, tell the people, how are we celebrating spooky season?
Chris, there's no better way to celebrate spooky season, aside from actually having a secret guest that Chris doesn't know about come back on the show. We're going to be delving into the world of spooky gimmicks, spooky characters in wrestling who have frightened your pants off with their haunting personas. How did I make it through that with a straight face?
I don't know. I couldn't, and I was just listening. So yeah, we're talking spooky, scary wrestlers, and it turns out there's a lot of them because horror sells, baby.
Are you afraid of the dark, TM? Maybe, but you might be afraid of these spooky, ghastly little creeps.
Hey, Matt, I ain't afraid of no wrestlers.
Oh, wrestling you're about to
feel
be.
Good.
You're about to be afraid of these wrestlers. Hey, before we get into spooky wrestlers, ding-dongs, make sure to go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. No one has done it since August. Please do it if you have not done it. 5 stars or get off our backs.
That's right. Look, if my mom can do it, who doesn't know what a podcast is,
yes.
B, know how to use iTunes or the podcast app. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she found Wrestle Buddies on the podcast app. She literally got an iPhone and 2 days later there was a review from my mother that said it was not biased. That is a lie. But she did it. You can do it.
Also, does that count? I mean, like, it's she doesn't listen to the show.
Bro, the algorithm thinks it counts, so shut your mouth.
Also, if you can write a review and then delete it and then write a brand new review with 5 stars, get off our backs. That's funny to me. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. Please, everyone do that.
See you tonight at D&D, Kurt. Except that we see you 2 days ago at D&D.
Yeah. All right, Matt, let's turn the lights down low, put the flashlights under our faces.
I can't. My light switch is on the other side of the room.
Ready?
Okay, you gonna get spooky?
Let's turn the lights down low. I turned off the light on my ceiling fan. Let's turn the lights down low.
We're in the Shutter movie Host. We're gonna mock a ghost and die.
We have 40 minutes to do this and get out before the movie ends because
oh no, Chris, look, ghosts are getting me. My camera's shaking.
Oh no, me too, Matt. Me too. Look, it's like. Terrible.
It's a ghost of Gobbledygooker.
the truly scariest wrestler of all time.
My favorite moment in wrestling was after the Gobbledygooker came out and did its dance in the ring. A few years later, George Bush Sr. obviously pardoned the Gobbledygooker at Thanksgiving from being murdered for dinner. And I think that was just the greatest moment in all of wrestling.
That didn't happen.
It definitely happened, Chris. I just said it.
Okay. Well, Matt, let's talk about scary wrestlers. Wrestlers that give us the creeps.
Ooh, ones that give us the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, you know, like the Godfather.
This is a morning zoo episode.
I wish I had a slide whistle right now.
Ahooga!
So we've talked about stuff like Chucky coming to WCW before.
So spooky.
We've talked about a lot of wrestling, but like there's some bona fide, legit scary wrestlers. And I'm going to start with maybe the least scary of the scary wrestlers, because I think there were a period of time where he was scary, but parts of Vampiro's WCW run, when he was really doing that, like heavy on the skull makeup, that was a scary looking presentation. The character didn't really match it.
Was this before or after the Misfits?
Before
the Grave Misfits, not Danzig. Danzig wasn't around at that time. Oh. He was doing the Danzig solo project.
Do you mean the Misfits like the MIA missing in action?
No, not Misfits. No, I mean the band, the Misfits, with Michael Graves singing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how
we're talking about connects. Spooky wrestling, and we're not going to talk about the Misfits.
Go ahead.
All right, Insane Clown Posse teamed up with
The Oddities. Golga, the Oddities.
No, we're not going to talk about that. That's a whole other thing with musicians coming into wrestling.
We need to do an Oddities episode.
We do need to do that.
Just to talk about Golga dancing around with the Cartman toy.
John Tenta, RIP. I don't remember Vampiro being scary at all.
I don't think it was a scary presentation. Again, I think his look... He looked sort of undead. That's why I said when he's the least scariest of the sort of scary wrestlers, his character was that of a vampire. And the makeup contour, they did the contour makeup on his face.
Looked the heavy cheekbones.
It almost looked like his skull was pushing out of his face. Like it looked cool and creepy. Then, you know, you saw it in action. It was just kind of
weird. And then he had a
set yourself on fire match with Sting.
Yeah. And a feud with the Demon.
The Kiss Demon?
It was after he
was no longer the Kiss Demon. He was just the Demon.
The Demon.
The guy who's cosplaying is Gene Simmons.
The Demon whose number one feud was against The Wall.
That's right.
He's the Chris Hardwick game show.
Okay, but now let's move on to actual scary wrestlers, Matt. And I think we should start with the scariest current wrestler.
Yeah, you're going to say Abaddon, right?
I'm going to say Abaddon in AEW. Abaddon looks like the monster from a Japanese horror movie, and I love it. It freaks me out.
And she's changed her look mildly like 5 or 6 times now, and every time it is more and more. She has her head shaved now, the sides of her head shaved. Her entrance is just like crawling. It's everything that terrifies me about like Japanese horror.
Yeah, every time she makes a little tiny change, like what's so cool about the Abaddon character, and like AEW, please use Abaddon more. Please put Abaddon in a higher level position. Every time you see that character, you start like Abaddon first shows up and it's super off-putting and really, really creepy. And the way she moves in the ring and like just everything about this presentation is very scary. But then, because this is pro wrestling and pro wrestling is on every single week, as the weeks go on, naturally, it starts being a little less creepy. Except, as you said, Abaddon keeps making these little tweaks. So when they pop back up, you're like, oh. Okay. The small little changes and the small bits of evolution keep you on your toes in terms of being scared by this character.
And the character is huge, like popular. I don't think she's ever been on BTE, maybe like one single shot or two.
I don't want her to be.
She's had a backstage interview once where like, it was weird. Like the person would ask her questions and she would like write down the answer.
Yeah.
And the answers were extremely off-putting. Like, even though it was kind of a comedy bit, it was Abaddon was still terrifying in this backstage interview. But she doesn't get a lot of screen time outside of wrestling, which I actually appreciate. Usually I don't appreciate that. Usually I want to see more about the character. But with Abaddon, I like the fact that we're not getting anything about this character. Like, what you get is what you see in the ring. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would also say, and I'd like to add to this because it's, I believe they're friends in real life. Max the Impaler from Ring of Honor, winner of the first annual Tournament of Beef. She is terrifying to look at and kind 100%. Of brings that same kind of energy and horror to the ring that Abaddon does. I think Abaddon does it a lot better, but I don't think Max the Impaler is straight horror, you know?
Matt. Tell me if you're with me on this vibe right here.
Yeah.
Abaddon is to Japanese horror what Max the Impaler is to A24 horror.
100%.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, if you told me that Max the Impaler was like the vengeful spirit of a Viking god that was now haunting me in my like flat or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
And Abaddon is a person who was wrongfully murdered and is now filled with vengeful rage.
Yes.
Living inside a wrestling ring, trying to exact revenge on every person that enters the ring.
Absolutely. That is Abaddon in a nutshell. Perfect. Let's hit some other favorites. Matt, hit me with someone. Hit me with someone you think.
I'm going
to
hit you with one of my favorites. We're going to continue with women wrestlers. We did not talk about this person before the show, but she is one of my favorite wrestlers of the time, and that's Luna Vachon.
Ooh, dude, Luna was scary with the shaved sides on the head and the veins drawn in.
And she was so aggressive. Her voice was like terrifying, high-pitched, shrill,
raspy voice.
Yeah. But it was deep and raspy, but it was like kind of had that like high-pitched tin to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would just like explode out of nowhere with anger and out of like craziness. And Luna was everything I loved about women's wrestling back in the, I guess this is almost like a little pre-attitude, but mainly attitude era.
Well, yeah, because like eventually she got paired with Gangrel.
Who she married.
towards the end of their time in WWE. I'm looking at, oh my God. You just like the amazing detail on the makeup job that starts on the face and goes up to the sides of the head is so, so good. Luna Vachon looked scary, but like not weirdly, not supernatural scary. She looked like serial killer scary in a way.
It's like it's an unhinged fear that it kind of resonates with the audience. And
yeah,
I do want to say that 90s scary is nothing like now scary. Now scary, like they'll do straight up horror movie stuff if they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the time, like Luna Vachon is one of my favorite women wrestlers, just period.
God, Luna was but so good.
She understood character work at a level back then that didn't really compete with other people. She was way above and beyond everybody else.
Man. Good. Matt, excellent, excellent call.
Thank you.
Let's sort of stick in the 90s. This one might, I don't know, this one might just be me.
Okay.
Evil Doink the Clown.
I'm with you on this. Everybody remembers Doink the Clown as like Zany Wacky Clown fart sounds. But the first Doink the Clown was horrifying. The entrance music started with that dun 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 dun, and then it just got like this ominous, like
doom. And it was like, it's like the Jack in the Box powering down.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. And that he had this evil look on his face. Like, and you have to remember, at us growing up, this is at a time when we were all horrified of Tim Curry's Pennywise from the It miniseries.
Which aired on, like, wasn't it NBC or ABC?
Yeah, it was a network television miniseries, but it was the scariest thing on earth because Tim Curry is horrifying as Pennywise.
That original version of Doink the Clown, it didn't last very long. Was that, that wasn't Matt Bourne, was it? Matt Bourne was one of them, but it, not Matt Bourne. Osborne?
No, it's Matt Bourne.
I'm trying to remember which, who was the first Doink the Clown. So the first one was the horror version. That person left. Someone else took it over right away, and it became the zany version. Then it became the whole thing with Dink.
Hold on, I'm looking.
There's a, there's like, I think like five people that played Doink the Clown. Maybe like three during the WWE era.
Portrayers. Oh, Matt Osborne. Matt Osborne was the original Doink.
I believe that's the, that, yeah, that's the one that strictly did the horror version and then left. My memory's a little off. Matt Osborne,
followed by Steve Kern, who wrestled as Illusion Doink at WrestleMania 9 and then Real Doink at house shows. It was Matt Osborne was Doink for quite a while.
Okay, maybe he transitioned into Funny Doink then,
I think
too.
So.
Okay. Because I remember Horror Doink was such a short time. It was very, very, like, brief.
But it was so good.
It was so good.
It was so, so good and so, so scary. All right, Matt, you're up. What do you got?
Oh, boy. You know what? Let's go as one of the wrestlers I have dressed up as on Halloween.
I know who you're talking about because I've seen this photo.
And you know what? It's also a wrestler I've talked about who I super duper love as a character worker. It's Charles Wright. And we're going with Papa Shango.
Creepy.
This is his biggest feud was with Ultimate Warrior when he cursed Ultimate Warrior. Charles Wright, I just want to say.
Didn't he make Ultimate Warrior like cough up black sludge?
Cough up black sludge and sweat black.
Oh my God, that's right.
I remember as a kid, so many people making fun of that feud saying like, it's so stupid and dumb. I'm like, but this is entertainment. Like this is like, they're doing something really new and different. And I kind of love it. Mm-hmm. Papa Shango was based on Baron Samedi from the James Bond movies. I forget. Live and Let Die. Was that the one?
I don't do James Bond movies, so I do not.
Okay. It's one of the few that I actually like. So I believe it's Live and Let Die. It's a voodoo priest. He's got skeleton makeup, wears a top hat. And then it's Charles Wright's like tattoos, which are back then, like he had full sleeves.
Yeah.
And we're talking like 93.
Yeah, this is an 94? Era when like super tattooed wrestlers weren't really a thing. I mean, you had like a Bam Bam Bigelow situation where he had his head tatted up, but like nowadays, tattoos are fairly common on wrestlers. That was not the case back then.
Well, tattoos I don't know if I'm making a broad generalization, but I think most people have at least one tattoo at this point.
I don't think as an adult. I don't think most people do. Most sounds like more than half.
I think I'm actually one of the few people in my group of friends that has tattoos now that I think about it. Yeah. Like my real life group of friends that I see.
Also,
all the
we're
time.
Talking about the entire world, Matt.
In American culture.
Tattoos are more widely acceptable now than they were in the early 90s.
We'll yes. Say that. Yeah. Because I think everybody at our job has at least one tattoo.
Probably.
I think the entertainment team's
not
pretty
Dan,
covered up.
Not Dan.
Dan's got to have one, right?
I don't think so. He's too good of a boy. Dan? He's a good boy.
He's a good UK boy.
Yeah. Also, tattoos are illegal in the UK.
They're very illegal.
Which we rarely talk about here, but it's time. We're here to talk about our new referendum to legalize tattoos in the UK.
Which is weird because one of my favorite shows on Hulu is Tattoo Fixers UK, where they fix up bad British tattoos.
They fix them up by removing them from your body because they're illegal.
Oi, this is illegal. Get it off.
Get me the scalpel.
I went a little Roy Kent on that one. I apologize. Guys, Ted Lasso Season 2. Watch on Apple TV+.
I'll get to it.
Papa Shango wasn't. His walk to the ring was scary. He came down with the smoking skull.
Yeah,
the outfit was scary. And we're talking about a time in WWF, WWE, whatever you want to call it back then. It was WWF, where characters were bigger than life. Every character was just like the biggest gimmick. That like my job is my gimmick, mm-hmm. or like I'm Hulk Hogan. That's my gimmick. American flag.
My job is to be Hulk Hogan.
I'm Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I have a 2x4. I might be a construction worker. Who knows?
On my resume, it says real American.
What are your strengths? I fight for the rights of every man.
I take my vitamins. I say my prayers.
I got a gold chain.
Weaknesses, 24-inch pythons.
That's not a weakness.
Nah, he wants them to be bigger, bro.
Oh, exactly. I'm like 31-inch, brother. But Papa Shango for that era, like, pretty scary.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look back.
It's,
like,
well, it's the mixture. He's because like the whole thing is he's essentially a voodoo priest.
Yes.
Like that's the gimmick. But it's like it's the mixture of like the face paint with the top hat, with like the thing around his neck with the smoking skull. Like it's there are so many little pieces that all come together to create this really intimidating image.
And Charles Wright really likes to embody those characters, and he can take a bad idea and make it great.
Oh, he commits.
He commits so hard. I know he hates The Good Father. Like, I think he's come out and said he hated The Good Father so many times. I love
The Good Father.
I think The Good Father is one of the best things to come out of that weird era of like mm-hmm. late Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kama the Fighting Machine. I love Kama Mustafa.
Yeah.
He's so good at what he does.
What's weird is like The Godfather might be my least favorite of the characters, all told.
I've kind of like been watching Attitude Era here and there. I've kind of turned a bit on Godfather. Like, I think my memory of what The Godfather stands for and what the character actually stands for are two different things. I don't think it's as misogynistic as I once thought, especially compared to everything else happening during Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit more pro women than, and that sounds weird to say out loud, but yeah. I think it's more pro women than I thought.
That's good. That's good. Okay, let's jump. I want to jump to another one of that Papa Shango era. Matt, the original incarnation, if you will, of The Undertaker, when he was like the old Western mortician, like first introduced with Brother Love, originally shifted to Paul Bearer, like that original take of Undertaker where he's just sort of a mindless giant pale zombie mm-hmm. killing machine. Like, it was scary.
I would argue that that's the only scary version of that character.
I think you'd be right.
I'd say the other ones are based in horror. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. Some of them.
Just the American Badass version. That is definitely based in horror. It's a Rob Zombie movie come to life.
Some of them are based in horror, but I wouldn't say scary. But I wouldn't call like Ministry of Darkness Undertaker scary.
Well, no,
I'd say it's fun as hell.
I think the thing about the Undertaker persona is that it became so much larger than life and became so iconic in the minds of fans that it rose above being scary at all, which is like, we'll get to talking about Bray Wyatt and The Fiend in a little bit, but I think that character sort of experienced a bit of the same as it kept going. But the original incarnation of the Undertaker was horrifying, especially if you were young at the time and suddenly you saw on your TV screen, or if you happened to go to a taping or house show. I went to a house show and saw the Undertaker in person and was like awed by how gigantic he was and how he moved with zero emotion whatsoever.
Man, to be able to like to commit to that. That seems so, so hard.
Yeah. It's so, so, so good and so, so, so scary for that time.
Can we talk about somebody that you just mentioned? And I think we should separate this into two different parts, but I'd like mm-hmm. to talk about Bray Wyatt just as the leader of, you know, the Wyatt family, kind of taking on that Cape Fear character. A lot of Waylon Mercy, too. It's a lot of
Waylon Mercy, a lot of Cape Fear. Honestly, parts of it had like very strong Deliverance vibes too.
Yes. I just want to explain Waylon Mercy is a character from, I think it's 1995. I think we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It's a guy in like a Hawaiian shirt, got a cross tattoo, quote unquote, on his forehead.
Tattooed with a Bic pen.
Yeah. And he would just sit in the forest and like ramble. And Waylon Mercy, I would say, was 20 years ahead of its time. And
yeah,
because
oh my God, Waylon Mercy would have been a huge character in like the 2010s.
Yeah. But this was 1995. I don't think we didn't even understand that character. I'm not going to say give myself credit and say like Waylon Mercy's the best. Why'd they do this to him? Because that's 2021 Matt talking, not right. 1995 Matt. But I'd say he's so far ahead of his time and really helped create that blueprint for Bray Wyatt, who's really that like Deliverance, like back of the woods mixed with Cape Fear character who says, we'll talk for 10 minutes and say nothing, but also say everything.
Say everything and be the most convincing person on the planet about it. Like mm-hmm. The way Bray Wyatt talked and led that original incarnation of the Wyatt family, it was vaguely backwoods cultish.
Yes.
Which was incredibly engaging, but also very scary because you just like, and it went to every single aspect of the character with the lights going, but before like the Fireflies thing, before all the audience started waving their cell phones around, like the lights would go out and you just see this one spotlight barely. And it like, it wasn't even a full spotlight. It was just enough to light the way so you knew what was going on. They would drag the rocking chair to the ring. And then Bray would just look creepy rocking at ringside while his minions destroyed anyone in the ring.
I see. I don't like, I'm just thinking back to like the NXT days when the original Three Wyatt family not debuted, but when they were wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Bray actually fighting a lot. It was mostly Eric and Luke, from mm-hmm. what I remember.
And it was Bray delivering a lot of like long monologue promos, which were fantastic. They were great.
And then if Bray actually ended up fighting you, you would get destroyed because he was even at that time, like he wasn't the leader of a cult or a group who couldn't hold his own. Like Bray, what was most terrifying about Bray is if you were going to get into the ring with him, you know, the talking and all that is scary on its own, but like the way he was just such a powerhouse in the ring with that character, what made him even more terrifying.
Absolutely. God, what a super fun. And I also like the way it evolved. Like, and they started involving like the Wyatt family compound and mm-hmm. like, remember the Wyatts versus New Day, like swamp match or whatever it was called.
Yep. Which took place in a ring of cars.
Yeah.
Originally.
Well, it took sort of.
So some of it, I mean.
But it was like at the Wyatt compound and there were cars around and it was all very, it was shot at night and the only lighting was like headlights and it was all very, very cool. It's just such an interesting, and I think that like that is, so much of that is thanks to the very cool, very different mind of Wyndham Rotunda, who is no longer with WWE. Mm-hmm. Hoping he pops up somewhere very soon.
I'm hoping it's Impact. I've said this before. I want him at Impact.
I want him literally anywhere. I feel like he's too big for Impact, honestly.
I feel like he could get more eyes back on Impact, and Impact could get off Access TV on a real channel.
I mean, the people who own Access TV own Impact, so I do not envision that happening.
Oh, they forgot about that. Never mind. That's right.
But it's like he has such a different mind for pro wrestling than almost anyone else. And it enabled this character and the next character we're going to talk about to be so creepy and engaging in ways that honestly, we don't really see a lot in wrestling.
Mm-mm. That brings us to the last iteration of Bray Wyatt in WWE, mm-hmm. The Fiend. I know how we talk about Undertaker. I know how we talk about Undertaker kind of lost that horror appeal. He was still a horror character, but not scary because the mystique had disappeared. Somehow with The Fiend, he got more terrifying.
I think what helped that was there were two sides of it. There was the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse element of the character that like essentially was like evil Mr. Rogers Neighborhood sort of playing on the fear that this character instills in the world. And then you would see that change as this character who's like a bright, fun, happy, jokey guy. When he unleashed the inner fiend. And it's this horrifying, truly, truly horrifying mask and costume getup that, like, it made him look like a demon come to life.
Mm-hmm. What I loved about that the fiend stuff was, and Firefly Fallen House stuff was so high concept. Mm-hmm. It might be some of the highest concept stuff in wrestling, period. I don't think some of creative understood it. Like when Seth Rollins showed up at the Firefly Funhouse, I'm like, no, you can't show up there.
Yeah.
It's in his mind. Seth Rollins, you can't go into Bray Wyatt's mind.
I like when they zapped John Cena into it for.
I was okay with that.
Because, that made sense because they built it within the framework of what they were doing.
Yeah. Because because you know,
it wasn't just a location that Cena drove a car to.
Oops, I'm here. That John Cena Bray Wyatt match is still just, I think about that so much. It's not even a traditional match by any means, but it's still like one of the best things WWE's done in years.
I want the John Cena NWO action figure from that match because like I just want that commemorative thought of that match. It's and the beauty of the Fiend, I will say, as they involved Alexa Bliss more in the Fiend shtick and he seemingly feuded with Randy Orton for 17 years, that took a lot of shine off the character, which was unfortunate. But then they reintroduced him all burned up and I thought, oh, this is interesting. But then they ditched that at WrestleMania and just went back to the standard Fiend look. And I was very confused. It felt like towards the end of Wyatt's run in WWE, WWE had no idea what to do with the character.
And that stinks because I think that Bray Wyatt really led the way on how that character was evolving. When they had the burned up version of him, we already knew that the Fiend was unstoppable. Well, you found somebody that stopped him, kind of.
Or did you?
And then it's evolved into this like, you know, Jason Voorhees type, like, I'm burned up and you can't get rid of me. Like, that was the next step. It made so much sense. Why did you guys just stop?
Matt, that's a fantastic way to frame it. Like, they essentially turned him into Jason Voorhees or a Michael Myers character, who's like, no matter, you can kill him however many times you want. He just comes back. He might look worse for wear, but he's stronger than ever.
And I feel that's like, I don't try to be armchair booker or whatever when it comes to WWE, but I see things that are so obvious like that to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I feel like I'm very right on this one. Mm-hmm. But I see things like that and I'm just like, how do you guys not get this? Like, I know it's different than everything else we've seen in wrestling, but how do you not get this? It seems pretty clear to me that it's a very high concept, cerebral horror character that Bray and world that Bray has created.
But ultimately, when you look at WWE programming, the phrases high concept and cerebral don't really ring through.
Unless you're a cerebral assassin.
That's right.
That's why you can't be cerebral, because Triple H killed all the cerebrals. You assassinated it all.
Oh my God. That's kind of perfect.
All right. Give me some other. We've actually been going for a while already and talked about like four people, and I'm like happy about that.
I'm gonna hit you. We can wrap up soon. There's a couple more I'd like to talk about. Kane, but pause. It's gotta be Kane. The version of Kane immediately after losing the mask for the first time.
Okay,
when he's feuding with seemingly everyone, this is the Kane that hooked Shane McMahon's testicles up to a car battery. This is the Kane that tombstoned Linda McMahon on the stage. This is the Kane, like, when he took off that mask and he had that weird half head bald
suck
thing.
It.
No, this is long after like, that's he long had after. The vocoder thing for his throat. This is like Kane. When Kane was first introduced as the Undertaker's brother, it was a scary concept. And he had the red lighting, he had Paul Bearer and Mankind in his corner. Like, there was a lot going on there. As the years went on, though, and Kane became a fan favorite, like, he was kind of a part of DX for a while. He would do promos with The Rock and Hulk Hogan where he talked about his fans, the Kanaanites, like stuff like that, which is hilarious to me. But like, it's so far from what Kane, the original intention of Kane was, that by the time they got to the part where he like he lost his mind and came unmasked, and you saw, then it turned out that all these supposed burn scars that he had were more mental scars than anything else.
Wink.
But like, but you saw him devolve into complete insanity. Like that there was some scary stuff. And I'll take it even further to the point where there's a moment, my favorite Kane moment of all time is WrestleMania 20, when the Undertaker comes back as the Dead Man and Kane, and to face Kane, and Kane is in the ring, and the lights go out and the purple comes up and the camera goes to Kane. And for the first time, Kane had been this insane monster heel, this grotesque, mean-spirited monster. And the lights go out and the purple lights come up, and Undertaker first walks out from backstage, and the camera cuts to Kane, and he looks like he's about to cry, and he just keeps saying, "You're not real. You're not real." And I was like, that is the best character work that person that Glenn Jacobs has ever done, because in that moment, I believe that this horrifying monster was scared of his big brother.
I would also say that WWE during this time was banking on Kane to be that horror character to kind of offer something different. You know, putting Glenn Jacobs in the movie See No Evil.
A
horror movie where Kane plays a guy who kills people. And I believe
movie that ends with Kane's empty eye socket getting peed in by a dog.
Yeah. But that's what that character was. That character was supposed to be this kind of leather facey, not backwoods like Hill Rod or whatever, but like murder machine. Yeah. He's supposed to be a murder machine.
Absolutely.
Chris has got them yawns. It's been a long week.
I thought you had more to say about.
No, not really. I like Kane.
I like Kane.
Suck it. But every time I think about Kane, I think about the worst stuff. Like, it's all the bad stuff pops up with that character.
That's all the corporate Kane garbage.
That, and then Katie Vick.
I don't want to talk about Katie
Vick. And then some Mayor Glenn Jacobs speeches I saw once.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Let's not. Separate the art from the artist. That is a whole other kind of horror, Matt. I don't want to go too deep. Like, this is, I'm coming up with my last one. I don't want to go too deep on him because I know enough about the great Muta, but also like, I was able to see him live twice. I think now
I saw him once.
Where?
G1 Supercard,
which is where. Yeah,
we saw them together. That
was my second time. Japanese legend, for sure. There are so many scary elements to the Great Muta character, from the design of the look of the character to the mist to like. Like
the way he walks to the ring, man.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I'm not very extremely well versed in Great Muta. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where like we growing up, we didn't get All Japan or New Japan wrestling in America.
Same. Yeah.
You know who is a legend kind of when they pop up on WCW, like Ultimo Dragon. Or yeah. The one time I think Jushin Thunder Liger popped up.
Muta popped up on WCW a bit too.
Yes, he
did. Which is great. But like, man, when you, as you grow up and like, honestly, thanks to the internet, there is so much access to things and you realize like everyone who doesn't know Muta well right now go to Google, type in the Great Muta, and just hit images and look at this person. Like, he, like, between makeup, masks, like the look of the Great Muta is something out of a nightmare, and I mean that in the best way.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It is so scary, and I love him for it. And oh my god, dude, I just did it again. I just reopened it again. I remember when the first time I saw Muta was at a larger indie show here in LA 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is how dope this was. This is how weird this indie show was, Matt. There was just an electric guitarist there playing his music. No rest of the band.
Just the guitar.
Just the guitarist playing to a music track. The lights go out. Everything's all red. He comes out in this cool, super cool mask that he wears throughout. And like, at this point, how old is Great Muta right now? Let me look.
I'd say he's probably in his late 60s, mid 60s.
58 years old. He's only 58 I'm way years off. Old. Good for him. But he debuted because he debuted in 1984.
Yeah.
Like, he's been going for so long, and he, like, I can't recommend enough. Just go look up Great Muta stuff. It's all over YouTube. You'll have it, like, it's not hard to find. And that is a character. Honestly, it is one of the earliest scary wrestlers that I can think of.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many, like, and there are so many wrestlers that we haven't touched on. Like Bruiser Brody was a scary ass character. Like, there is a long, endless list. And like, honestly, we can't talk about them all now, because what are we going to do next Halloween if we go through all the scary wrestlers now?
Oh no, we can't talk about the Boogeyman eating worms.
I totally forgot to bring up the Boogeyman who was on the list. We'll have to save that for next year. Cause like, I would argue that there are incarnations of the Boogeyman that are scary.
Like the first one.
Yeah. Before he ate the mole off of JBL's assistant's face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or before he would just pop up in backstage interviews, go, "I'm the Boogeyman. I'll get you."
Yeah. When he would feed people worms, that was pretty scary. Cause I wouldn't want it.
Disgusting.
If Vince McMahon came to me and was like, "Look, the Boogeyman is going to feed you worms," then I'd be like, "I quit."
Cool story, bro. I'm out of here.
I would rather get beaten by literally everybody in the locker room than eat worms, you idiot. Like, get out of here.
I guess I'll go to Ring of Honor.
Kick bricks. Spooky. Spooky, spooky, spooky.
Well, Matt. Chris. I've been listening in. I have hacked into your program. Oh,
God. Hello, SmackDown. SmackDown Hacker? Welcome to the show, first of all. Second of all, I was wondering when we would be hearing from you again, because you weren't here for our last predictions episode.
No, I thought I heard something spooky, maybe a ghost.
Oh, for Halloween.
Oh, because it's very scary Halloween. I've just been very busy at my website, thesesheetsaredirty.org, writing about all the news you could ever use about wrestlers.
True or not?
It's all true and factual. We have inside sources at every company delivering us the goods.
Oh, okay. So then let's talk. It's spooky season. Do you have any spooky news tidbits you can share with the listeners?
I've got one very spooky piece of news to deliver to all of you. Coming up at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia.
No.
Okay. All right. Then that was my only spooky news.
SmackDown Hacker, I'm sorry we didn't go over this with you earlier. Those shows don't exist in our universe.
Oh, well, okay.
How about got anything AEW or like Raw, SmackDown, or NXT related?
I have the spookiest news you could ever use about AEW. A new AEW signing. It is going to blow your socks off.
Oh, I'm ready to be scared.
It is a new tag team.
Uh-huh.
Made up.
Okay.
Of Peter Weller as RoboCop and Chucky the Demonic Doll. Wait. It's Warner Media owns. AEW, or they own TNT and TBS, which plays AEW, is under the same family, and Chucky is coming out on Sci-Fi, an NBC Universal property, not Warner Media.
Wow. What a tag team.
It is. They're coming together to create this ultimate tag team of nostalgic BS that dudes in their 30s and 40s are going to eat up.
I have to admit, I'm very surprised by all the media conglomerates that have to come together to make this happen, because as you mentioned, AEW is on Warner Media. Chucky is a NBC Universal property. And if I'm remembering correctly, wasn't RoboCop in like an Orion Pictures movie? And that's,
I believe, it was Orion Pictures, which is no longer a thing, and probably
which is owned by, well, Orion is still a thing. They came back a few years ago, but they're owned by MGM, which is owned by Amazon.
It is Amazon, Warner Media, NBC Universal,
Comcast, yeah,
coming together to bring you a tag team on a wrestling promotion that most people that aren't wrestling fans have not heard of.
I mean, we're
telling me out in the world, out in the American world right now?
Yeah.
People that don't watch wrestling know what AEW is. People that have no idea that wrestling is still a thing know what AEW is. People barely know what WWE is, Chris. Isn't Hulk Hogan doing that thing? And they're like, no.
Do they?
He sued Gawker.
Doesn't everyone just think John Cena now? I thought everyone just thinks about John Cena now.
He's probably gonna sue Gawker too.
Wait.
Gawker
is back.
I know, you get to a level in wrestling, and then when you reach the pinnacle, you get to sue Gawker.
Wow, that seems weird.
Inside information.
But why do you assume that people outside of wrestling fandom don't know who RoboCop or Chucky are?
I mean, they know who they are, but like, they're going to be like, hey, turn to AEW on TNT on Wednesday nights, or if you're watching Rampage on Fridays, and check out Chucky and RoboCop as a tag team. Most people are going to be like, that's dumb, not going to watch that. But me, as a wrestling fan, I'm like, yeah, give it to me.
Okay, so here's the most important question I can have.
Yes, RoboCop will put Sting in a cage on Rampage.
Well, as we remember, RoboCop took Sting out of a cage.
Yeah, they're no longer friends.
Oh, that's a bummer. Are they a heel tag team?
Of course they are. Chucky has put the soul of his wife, Tiffany, into RoboCop. And now...
Wait, is Jennifer Tilly dressing up as RoboCop? Is no, that what you're telling me?
It's Peter Weller as RoboCop, but it will have Jennifer Tilly's voice.
Perfect. Does this tag team have a name?
No, not at this point in time. But your second question was, do Chucky and Peter Weller's RoboCop kiss in the ring? And the answer is a lot. They are all over each other, kissing and hugging and talking about making babies, and then realizing, oh, wait a minute, I am Jennifer Tilly's voice in Peter Weller's body. We need to adopt.
I really hope they save this for like after the 8 p.m. hour.
No, this is at 5 p.m. Rampage, brand new time.
That's terrible. It's going to be before SmackDown now.
It's before SmackDown. Take that, WWE. Before your local news, take that, local news.
Sorry, Kip Saberton or whatever your name is, local newsman.
Sorry, local news guy that probably should follow me on Twitter because I have the inside sources for wrestling. It is going to be an awakening for so many people to watch this doll and man kiss in the middle of a ring.
I cannot wait. I can't wait for the inevitable match against the Young Bucks.
Hold on a minute. I'm putting my finger to my ear.
Yes, you are.
This just in. The Young Bucks are leaving AEW.
What? Can you believe that? Where are they going?
They're going to Home? Franchise their own. They're going to go franchise their own Culvers.
Wait, why?
They like Culvers a lot.
Everyone likes Culver's a lot. That doesn't mean they open up Culver's franchises.
Yeah, they're going to open their own Culver's, and they're going to serve fried cheese curds, and they're going to serve delicious smashed Culver's burgers.
Can we get a Young Bucks Concrete?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. You can't mess with the Culver's system. When you go to the drive-thru at Culver's, the first thing they say to you is, "Welcome to Delicious." That's a real thing. You know how dumb that is?
That's wonderful because Culver's is delicious.
I mean, but like, yeah, get your head out of your ass, Culver's. Say welcome to Culver's.
Hey, language, please, smack that.
Oh, sorry. Welcome to Delicious. I'm Culver's. What do you want? Oh, more fried cheese curds? Watch out, you might have a heart attack. Don't eat here every day. It's good, but like, it is not healthy.
Culver's is the home of the butter burger. It's a burger with butter on it.
Yeah, it's delicious and gross.
Yeah, fantastic, but like, can't eat it every day. SmackDown Hacker, did you know I'm about to move? I'm about to move cross country.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Got some breaking news.
Finger to your ear.
You are moving within a drive to Hulk Hogan's restaurant/museum.
That's true. Also, very close to a Culver's.
Wait, are there Culver's in Florida?
There is in where I am moving in Florida,
yes. Wait, man, is there Clearwater Culver's?
No, I'm not moving to Clearwater.
I know, but like, that's drivable anywhere in that Florida area. Oh, sure,
no, but like, I'm saying there's a Culver's, I think, within like 5 to 10 minutes of where I will live.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty exciting. Butter burgers every day.
This just in. Okay. The Young Bucks are opening their Culver's in Clearwater, so I can say Clearwater Culver's as much as I want because...
Is it going to be next door to Hulk Hogan's restaurant?
Very down the street from that. Can you just try saying Clearwater Culver's? It feels real good to say.
Clearwater Culver's. That does sound good.
Yeah, Clearwater Culver's.
I like it a lot.
Oh, boy. Well, wow. Good luck on your move.
Well, thanks. And thanks That's for a big thing. Thanks for stopping by. We miss you around these parts.
I've been so busy writing all these things. We broke the news on Adam Cole going to AEW. Unfortunately, the website was down for a day, so I didn't get to get up till the next day. But we broke that news.
Where can the people find you on Twitter?
I am at SmackDownHacker. I apparently do not tweet very often and forget to tweet from that account because I'm so busy writing up these great pieces for thesheetsaredirty.org, which may or may...
I also believe These Sheets Are Dirty is on Twitter as well.
I believe it is. I believe it's just These Sheets and then the letter R, Dirty. I don't remember how I spell it out. By I mean the editor-in-chief, which is a mysterious person that is not me, and I really mean that for real.
If you hold on for just one moment.
We're holding on. Hold on a second. This just in.
Okay.
I've just got word that Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 is being built into one of Jimmy Carter's Habitat for Humanity houses.
What? Really?
Yeah, they just took...
robbed Hacksaw
Jim. No, they didn't rob him. Like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was like, I would also like to do some honorable things for the people of the world. And he helped build a house using one of his 2x4s from wrestling. What a great guy Hacksaw Jim Duggan is.
It's Sheets, the letter R, Dirty. At Sheets R, Dirty.
Real news, real wrestling news that you can't get anywhere else.
I will say you're falling a bit behind on Sheets R, Dirty. If we could get, you should probably get some new news up there. Breaking, 13 people left Meltzer's house when he began serving dinner. The scary
part that was real.
Only 7 inside. Reports from inside the Meltzer compound say he was making mac and cheese from scratch and he's a terrible cook. I will say, can I share with you my favorite scoop of yours?
Oh, yeah, please do.
From September 18th, exclusive. Brock Lesnar had plain-ass spaghetti noodles for dinner. There wasn't even butter on them. Brock to AEW confirmed.
That's real news.
And as we know, it hasn't come to fruition yet, but you're saying it will happen.
I mean, he's going to go to AEW, but also he just eats plain-ass spaghetti noodles with not even butter on them. Who boils a bunch of spaghetti drains it, puts it in a bowl, and goes, yum, yum, give me some.
Can I?
Brock Lesnar does.
Can I share with you one more of your amazing forward-looking scoops?
Yes, please do.
From September 19th, backstage reports from Extreme Rules next week stating that the New Day will beat the Bloodline and Big E will steal the E from Extreme Rules, renaming the pay-per-view to X-Term Rules. Big E to DDT Pro confirmed.
Yeah, Big E is going to be going to DDT Pro. It's great to see
with
him
with the
going
WWE
to,
Championship. That's impressive.
And with all the E's from Extreme Rules. Or, I'm sorry, Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules. Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, SmackDown Hacker. Again, follow him at SmackDown Hacker and at Sheets Are Dirty on Twitter.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by.
Here, Matt, you can have your microphone back.
Is he at your house, Matt?
Yeah, he was here.
Is he staying with you?
I don't know. He just came over and he's like, can you let me talk for a second? And I was
maybe,
like,
maybe he's living in your garage and you just don't know it.
Yeah, maybe we don't have a mouse. Maybe we have a
SmackDown hacker. It's fantastic.
A title for a character that is no longer relevant whatsoever.
Nope.
And was only relevant for a few weeks.
Yep. But we're doing it. I have to say, this was a great episode. Everyone should rate this 19 stars. We'll be back next week with more spooky. And the week after that with more spooky because it's spooky season. But until then, Matt.
Yeah.
Any final words?
5 stars are good off our backs.
Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed Wrestle Buddies as much as we enjoyed making it. Make sure to check us out on the Apple Podcasts app, rate us 5 stars or get off our backs. Also check us out on Stitcher, Spotify, other places. If you want to check us out in the social media landscape that is the world we live in, we are at Wrestle Buddies. He is at Chris Hayner. I'm Matt Elfring. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.